only do we get to come and sing, but I invite you to please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity, that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose portrait is this, and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. This nice, cool, brisk morning. Today is the third and final week of our October stewardship journey that we're doing here at Grace Church. Over the past 2 weeks, we focused on how this congregation's time, our talents, and our gifts helps people nationally through the ELCA, and through missions regionally, like the Lutheran Social Services that we talked about last week. This morning, we are focused on just a few of the many that this congregation serves through our neighbors right here in Sandusky County. If you haven't already, please refer to the blue book that you had in your bulletins when you came this morning to check out all the wonderful stewardship opportunities and the services and the volunteers that do serve here at Grace Church. We at Grace provide volunteers and financial support to each of the local organizations that we're going to review here this morning, and really many others that we don't have time to mention them all. Let's take a closer look at a few of these organizations that directly affect, are impacted by your time and your efforts that you've done through this church.
The Sandusky County Food Pantry, located on Granville Boulevard, is an invaluable service for community members in need. More than just offering a bag of groceries, it offers clients the sustenance to go out and look for work, to care for their families, and even give back to others once they're back on their feet. Imagine for a moment you are standing amongst the shelves of all the food at the food pantry. Here are just two of the people you might bump into. A gentleman who can't work because his boss, a metal roofing contractor, is sick. He just needs a few supplies to tide him over until his boss can get the crew back to work. When living paycheck to paycheck, the loss of just one of those paychecks is potentially devastating to a family. You may also run into a pregnant woman whose husband works but earns just enough money to pay the bills, and they're having difficulty putting food on the table. She plans to get a job once her child is born, but in the meantime, she's finding employment a little bit difficult to find. You might be curious what people receive when they visit the food pantry. So on the screen are a few examples. Normally, during the holidays, the food pantry receives a great deal of assistance, of course spurred by seasonal generosity. But we at Grace, evidenced by the shopping carts up front, we support the food pantry throughout the year.
Share and Care, which is currently located on Lynn Street, provides more than just clothing to people in need. The volunteers at Share and Care are committed to connecting clients to other resources that might be available throughout the community. And they provide services like GED services to help people get their high school education, or money to help carry them through on utility bills. They're currently looking to move to a new location which can maybe provide more help and more services available. One of the volunteers shared a story that resonated in her mind about some young kids coming. It was the beginning of the school season where most of the kids were getting new shoes and stuff for starting school. But one little girl was very shy and needed a pair of shoes. Luckily, the volunteers had three or four choices that were in her size. And when she finally got them on, she was so happy that she jumped around all over the store. We have always given them a new pair of socks also, and she was so proud that she hugged them, wouldn't let go of them when she left. Many of the volunteers at Share and Care express what a joy it is to be able to offer services and pray with their clients. Often clients experience such a feeling of desperation that Share and Care becomes their saving grace. This congregation, through supporting Share and Care, is part of that service.
Village House is a comfortable brick house on Rawson Avenue, and it is a safe haven for families to gather in the midst of tension and conflict. Whether separated due to divorce or court order, parents can visit their children in a positive, comfortable, supervised environment. In a typical day, Village House volunteers prepare the rooms for visitations, they schedule appointments, they communicate with local courts, monitor the video cameras in each visit room, transport children to and from visits, and provide direct care and comfort to clients. Dion, a current volunteer, directly benefited from Village House's services as a child. When Dion was unfortunately abused by his stepfather, his grandmother was granted custody. Following the custody decision, Dion was only able to visit with his mother at Village House. When he was 14, he was hired through a WSOS program to clean and perform maintenance around the Village House. He continued to work there through his senior year in high school, and now, even though he attends college in Toledo, he returns over breaks and holidays to continue volunteering. Grace Lutheran Church supports this amazing service that touches lives and strengthens families right here in our community.
My brother's keeper. Sometimes people in our own congregation need a helping hand at a time of crisis. And that's why My Brother's Keeper was established here at Grace Church 6 years ago. Anyone in this congregation who is experiencing financial struggles with mortgage payments, maybe rent payments, utility bills, can request assistance up to $1,000 per year. Just listen to the gratitude of a letter that was sent from somebody that was able to be helped through this service. To my church family, just when I thought I had hit the wall and had no one to help me, my church family came to my rescue. I didn't know how I was going to pay my rent, and my landlord was going to evict me. I had nowhere to go, and I worried about the welfare of my children. I had not been able to work due to an illness, and it didn't take long to fall behind with my bills. But due to my church and their generosity, I was able to pay my rent and my electric bill. I have since caught up with my bills and am now doing okay. Thank you so much for your help. And when I'm able, I hope to be able to return the help that you've given me. My brother's keeper is completely confidential. Over the past 6 years, we've helped 46 families in this congregation with a total of $30,700 in assistance. This is really true Christian outreach that we work with here at Grace Church.
The Fremont Soup Kitchen has been operating since 1990, boasting an amazing 24 years of continued service. Most of those years, it has been located right here at Grace. The Soup Kitchen was originally initiated as a community effort by Father Nick from St. Joe, Joe Pacopa, Tom Horvath, and Pastor Paul Fuchs, along with the gracious support from the Fremont Clergy Association. The Soup Kitchen is a non-denominational outreach service and is staffed by a 100% volunteer crew. Volunteers from area churches, confirmation kids looking to fulfill community service hours, Memorial Hospital folks, and a group of men from St. Joe that have volunteered since the kitchen began day one, all pitch in to make this valuable service operate smoothly. The Soup Kitchen receives no funding from federal or state agencies. Funding comes from sources such as area churches, civic groups, local companies, and of course, individuals. The Soup Kitchen has an open-door policy to serve anyone that needs a hot meal. A full course meal is served each Thursday at noon and is lovingly prepared by a group of grandmothers who cook just like they were serving their own families. Each year, the kitchen serves over 3,000 full course meals for local individuals in need. Whether you donate produce, your time, or support the Soup Kitchen financially, your hands help serve the food and feed the souls of all those people who rely on this wonderful outreach.
Liberty Center is located here on East 8th Street in Fremont. It is a local emergency shelter that is the congregation to help support. Started in 1994, it was served and has served over 2,645 families. It is funded through United Way and also by local and direct donations. The Liberty Center transforms lives through offering a safe haven for folks with no shelter options available. The center provides shelter for up to 60 days and provides 3 meals daily. It has 24 beds available for men, women, and children. It also offers support to get clients back on their feet through referrals to other agencies and through some of the counseling services that are available through volunteers that work there. Wendy's story illustrates just one of those transformations that are possible. Wendy had spent most of her life caring for others in both her personal and professional life. A single mom, she worked locally in the human resources field until November 11, 2011, when she lost her job. She reached hard to find out where she could possibly find other work, but time went by and her money ran out. After a year without work, Wendy was getting really down on herself. Overwhelmed, she ended up in the hospital. Her youngest daughter, Lacey, then 16, needed to stay with a friend. "I had been too strong for too long trying to take care of everybody else," Wendy said. "You just reach a point of a breaking point, and that's what happened. That was my bottom," she recounted. After 4 days in the hospital, Wendy, then 49, found herself with no place to go. She resorted to living in her car. That's when she applied for and got shelter at the Liberty Center. "In order to be whole again for my daughter, I needed to heal. And that's where my journey at Liberty Center started. I arrived at the Liberty Center feeling like a train wreck. I had no job, no stability, no home, nothing. I never thought this could happen to me. I couldn't even put gas in the tank to go out and look for jobs. I arrived wondering who I was, and I had no identity. At the shelter, Wendy found support and understanding from staff and volunteers. Wendy describes the shelter as a wonderful place for those who truly want to get back on their feet. And Wendy did just that while at Liberty Center. She first took a cleaning job at the local turnpike stop on the midnight shift, but soon landed a salaried job in human resources at a business here in Fremont. She moved into her own apartment and was ultimately reunited with her daughter, Lacey. And Wendy now serves on the Liberty Center Board of Directors. This is how Wendy sums up her experience. You arrive at the Liberty Center broken and without hope. But the Liberty Center helps you get over that hurdle of hopelessness. And once past that, everything begins falling into place with the support that they provide.
You have the opportunity to heal broken lives. You have the opportunity to help everything fall into place for a neighbor in need. Every individual in this congregation dedicates time, talents, and gifts to serve Christ through Grace Lutheran Church. As we have explored over the past 3 weeks, there are a number of different ways and organizations that this congregation can continue to support helping to make sure that we're reaching out to community members in need. As our congregational mission statement reads, we are encouraged to serve as the light of Christ. Today, we are asking you to formalize your commitment to Grace for the upcoming year. You will find a stewardship commitment card in your bulletin, and we ask you to complete it if you have not already done so. You don't need to fill out every line, but we hope that you fill out as much as possible. Your commitment strengthens the light that we shine throughout our community. We invite you to place your commitment card, along with your time and talent survey, if you brought it with you today, in the baptismal font up front as you come up for communion. We sincerely thank you for your stewardship commitment and the time that you have shared with us during this journey of stewardship.
I'd like to thank Les and Kristen and the entire stewardship committee for their presentation over the last several weeks. Our reading from Matthew, I believe, kind of ties this all together with everything that we've heard. This reading from Matthew asks this really big question. No matter what Jesus answered, it would cause him to be condemned. The question was, is it right to pay Caesar or not? Those conspirators, they thought, well, you know, it was either a yes or no answer, and no matter which way he was going to answer, it was going to condemn him. If Jesus said it was right to pay taxes, well, then he would be accused of being a traitor to the Jewish people, that he was in favor of Rome, and that would cause all of his followers to fall away from him. That would alienate them. If Jesus said that it was wrong to pay taxes, then he would prove that he was against Rome. And the Jewish leaders then would report him, and he would be on trial, and he would be executed. So before Jesus gave an answer, he asked for a coin. And he held up this Roman coin, a denarius, and he asked whose image and whose inscription was on it. That was an excellent question for that day, because anything that had an image and an inscription on it, it meant it belonged to that person. Therefore, this coin, it belonged to Caesar. So if it belongs to Caesar, then give it to Caesar. But there was another part of the answer to this question. Jesus went on and said, and give to God what is God's. Which is what this stewardship team has been asking us for the last 3 weeks, for us to wrestle with. What do we give to God? What belongs to God? When did Jesus ever say anything that there wasn't a lesson or a message included within it? And this passage is no different. And it's relevant for us today as it was then. This was written 2,000 years ago. What could it mean today when we think about our lives 2,000 years later and so much has changed? But has it really changed? In many ways, nothing has changed. And the answer that Jesus gave to the Jewish leaders, it still applies today. As Maureen mentioned, we get very little choice in whether we want to pay taxes. We pay our taxes or we get in trouble. But what we do have a totally free choice in is what we give to God. That's the bit that's usually left out when people quote this passage. We've all heard, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. But what we forget is the second part, and give to God what is God's. That is where we have a choice. This is where we can decide how we're going to give. But what exactly does God want from us? Giving of ourselves, well, it sounds vague. And I think Jesus gave us an incredible answer when he asked what the most important commandment was. He told us, the most important commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second greatest commandment is that we love our neighbor. Over the past few weeks, we've heard some wonderful stories about how the church, through your giving, is able to help and feed people in faraway countries. How gifts that you give is able to help regional social services like Lutheran Social Services Ministry right here in town. They've shared with us today all the local ministries, how your gifts as you give to the church continues to help and support all those ministries we heard about. We can see what a difference that we can make in other people's lives by the giving of our time, of our talent, and our treasure. Remember Jesus' complete answer to the big question. Give to Caesar what is Caesar, and give to God what is God's. Perhaps the question should be, who do we love? Well, Jesus' answer, he's going to say, I'm on God's side. But how are we all going to answer that? Whose side are we on? Who do we love? This world where it's just this growing place of unhappiness, where often a place where people put themselves first. Maybe they have power and money, and they use it for themselves instead of caring for others. Or more importantly, and perhaps the good news from this entire reading, is that God's world that we are a part of, this is a place where love grows, a place where you are just as valued as your neighbor, a place where we can live in peace and forgive our enemies and be forgiven when we fall. A couple days ago, I had the privilege of going to an intern retreat with Vicar Aaron. And I met the most incredible pastor. Her name was Pastor Vicki Garber. She's from Gloria Dei Lutheran Church in Lakeside Park, Kentucky. Lakeside Park is kind of like a suburb of Cincinnati. It's just across the river, and it's in the Kentucky state. One of the things I love to do when I go to retreats like this is I meet people. During the free time, a lot of times I'll go and I'll pull up the churches and I'll look for exciting ministries. I'll look to see who are able to really create disciples for Christ. and on her site, I found that she was in a community where there was zero population growth, just like Fremont. But in 6 years, that church had grown 29.3%. And you know the incredible thing is, out of the 897 members that were there, 30% were under confirmation age. They had been able to reach the young people in their community. The very first week she arrived at that church, 14 years ago, she challenged her congregation on their giving. And when they said, "Pastor, how are we going to do this? You want us to do this and this and this?" She says, "I'm going to ask us to trust God. To trust God." And this congregation, they prayed about this. They prayed about and talked about God, and they talk about the Holy Spirit. They give to Caesar what is Caesar, and they give to God what is God's. Will you join me in prayer? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We know that you are with us, you guide us, and you have blessed us. Help us as we continue in this life to make our choices. Know that we are surrounded by your love, that you love us, and that you love our neighbor. Help us always to put our trust in you. Amen.